Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 Podcast. After a week off, I am still John Ibarri. My co-host is Mr. Matt Walker, brought to you by our friends at Expand the Box Score. We are only 1 week away from NFL Draft Week. So how are you? And where do you want to get started? Do you want me to introduce what we're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like we were talking for weeks and weeks. Like this is like that lull, like post combine, pre NFL draft, where you're just really just talking about the same players over and over and over and over and over again. Where we all know things are going to change come the NFL draft, and now, yeah, it's quickly upon us. So we'll have to let the folks know at home as to why we took last week off, and it's because you were chasing darkness, as I've come to find out. You know, so stay around for the outtakes to learn a little bit more about how much John loves eclipses. Apparently,
the celestial bodies.
I thought I knew everything. I really did. It doesn't shock me that that's something that you're interested in, but it did shock me when you said it, like that's why you made your way to Texas, and all of the kind of work that went into where you ended up is just astounding to me. But this was your baby, today's episode. I'm excited about it, to see how quickly we can throw this in the trash in a little over a week. But, you know, it is fun because mock drafts are cool and all, but you know, they get dull after a while. Right. So, you know, what about some mock drafts with
landing spots? So, what we did was we took a recent CBS 7-round NFL mock, and what we're going to do is do our own little fantasy mock here based on those landing spots, because we all know a lot of that stuff does make a huge difference. And looking at the results of that CBS mock, there are some guys that I was just like, oh no, this would be so shitty for him, or other ones where you're like, okay, I can kind of get behind this. So We're going to kind of look at that. We'll discuss a little bit about, you know, some of these better, worse landing spots. But the main focus here is kind of just see how different a mock would be. We'll probably do two rounds if we got a little time and it's flowing. Maybe we go a little deeper because that's where there is a lot of value. And you and I like to do that and go value hunting, especially late in these drafts. So since it might run long, we might as well jump right into it. Anything you want to say about these landing spots and then who you draft in one or two?
I'm going to take one because you had won the first mock that we did. So I think it's only right that I take the obvious first pick in this one and see what changes. I do think we try and push here. I mean, you put the 48 picks here on this mock landing spot. I think if we, you know, keep the context light, I think we can get through four rounds, which is a typical rookie mock draft, because you know that rounds three and four are far more intriguing to us than rounds one and two. So
yeah,
I'm going to get started right off. There's really no...
Oh, we're going to do super flex and tight end premium, right? Just to give some values to these guys. Yes, all right.
Yeah. That's all leagues should be super flex at this point, and you know, there should be some premium scoring of note. So 101, I'm still going with Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears.
Super flex. I'm looking at where these other guys landed. I do like the rushing upside. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels at two. I think that Washington with Kingsbury is a good landing spot.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I mean, we're playing fantasy football here. This isn't real football. Jaden Daniels isn't my quarterback two in a real football world, but he is now my quarterback two in fantasy, especially with this landing spot. I'll do the first deviation after those top two quarterbacks, and you know, Marvin Harrison landing with the Cardinals. It seemed like a foregone conclusion at 104, now being tied to Kyler Murray with little else other than Trey McBride in that passing game. Marvin Harrison, if he ends up in Arizona, fully healthy season, will catch 90 balls in his rookie year.
So I'm going to a place I would never have gone normally here. Pick four. I'm going to take Drake May. This mock has Minnesota trading up to 105. So he's getting some premium draft capital there. We know Minnesota has a need. They got some weapons for him to throw to. I don't have May as my QB3, but I would put him here based on the landing spot.
Yeah, May is my QB2 still. I do love the Minnesota landing spot. Through four picks, we are my four picks when I kind of went through this exercise by myself. So I might as well just pick the guy that I have at 105 as well and just keep this train rolling. Malik Nabers lands with the New York Giants at pick 106, premium capital. He would have been wide receiver one in last year's draft class. It'd probably maybe be wide receiver one in next year's. I mean, I do like Luther Burton, but Malik Nabers isn't a bad consolation prize, even in a underwhelming Giants offense.
We know this top eight is going to be the same. It's just a matter of what order. I'm going to go back to wide receiver, take Odunze, much like you said, could have been wide receiver one a year ago, possibly. Don't like Caleb Williams. Don't like him tied there, but do like the player, so might as well go there.
Yeah, I'm not, and he's my number six too, so you're right. Nothing has changed, but I don't like, I mean, I guess, I don't want to say I don't like that land spot. I don't like the immediacy of it, right?
Yeah,
there's agreed. Keenan Allen and DJ Moore there. Keenan Allen might only be 1 year, but DJ Moore isn't only 1 year. So for him to realize that, you know, league winning upside is going to be more difficult, you know, if he lands in Chicago.
I don't think the Bears take him at nine anyway, but.
I don't either. I think they go offensive line. Number seven, I'll take the cheese. JJ McCarthy going 103 to the New England Patriots. Hopefully they sit him for a year and let him learn. New England's such an unknown for me. You know, the post Bill Belichick era and what's going to come of it. But in a super flex league, I'm going to take a shot on the 103 with pick seven in a rookie draft.
And then eight, closing out the locked in eight in every draft, I'm going to go Brock Bowers. I don't like ever taking early tight ends. The Seattle landing spot is not bad. Draft capital 16th overall. I don't think that happens. I don't think that's where he goes. But going to stick with the chalk here, and that's how every draft is gone. So now we're heading into interesting territory.
Yeah, and I don't like the Seattle landing spot at all for Bowers.
No.
They just re-signed Noah Fant, and I don't think Noah Fant's like you know, insurmountable, but they gave him a multi-year deal. They also brought Tyler Lockett back on an amended deal, and then they used a first-round pick on Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year, and DK Metcalf's not going away anytime soon. So, and I don't believe in Geno Smith. So who's the quarterback of the future in Seattle? Is it Drew Lock? I don't know that that's any better.
No, Lock's in,
I think this is, that's right. He's going, it's Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Nah, maybe not. I did not like that landing spot. A better landing spot, and I'd probably take Bowers over McCarthy personally.
I agree. I hate McCarthy's landing spot in New England here.
I hated it too, but given the super flex nature, you know, 107 of getting a third quarterback taken, I just thought there was too much value. So you're right. They were going in some way, shape, or form. So this is where it gets a little bit more interesting. And I am going to go with not the next wide receiver taken in the NFL draft, but a guy that I'm waiting to see if landing spot matches the potential opportunity. And I'm going to take Adonai Mitchell, going pick 23 overall to the Los Angeles Chargers. They have cleared the deck of wide receivers in Los Angeles. I still am a huge Justin Herbert believer, and I don't think they're just going to ask him to throw it like 20 times a game, no matter Harbaugh there or not. And if it's Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer are his competition, this kid's dripping with upside, gets late first-round capital, goes to a team that had already sunk first round capital a year ago into a wide receiver that they seemed to already be, you know, kind of soured on. He's a guy that would solidify his position as the wide receiver four for me with this selection.
All right. So looking at draft capital here, I feel like with pick 10, I've only got one other option. It is super flex. CBS has the Raiders taking Michael Penix at 113. So I'm going to take him at 10 overall.
Yeah, earlier than I would take him, even with that draft pick. I just don't believe in Michael Penix. So consider me out. I'm gonna break the seal on the running back position. Not who was my running back one before this landing spot draft. I do believe landing spot is extremely important for the running back position. Trey Benson goes pick 222 to the Cleveland Browns. They already restructured Chubb to keep him there, but even if he's there, it's the end game for Nick Chubb. They're still just a run-based attack. I like the landing spot and the second-round capital. Spoiler alert, Benson's the only running back selected in the second round in this mock draft.
Yeah, now we're getting interesting here. We have one more first-round wide receiver on the board, which is Brian Thomas. You just mentioned Benson's the only second-round running back. No more wide quarterbacks went to the third round. Tight ends, we know what that board looks like.
Ooh, I think you said there's only one more first-round receiver. There's actually two.
Oh, there are two. I'm sorry. You're right. Left. Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy went at 128 in this mock. I don't like it. We are in a tough spot here. I am
very interested in what you're going to do here. I am super curious.
I am going to go with...
I think I know who you're picking, but I'm going to wait.
Going to do what you and I have said we do. We like the player, so we stick. I was going to go Jalen Wright, but it's just too early. I'm going to, against my best judgment, go back to back Raiders picks here. I'm going to take Marshawn Lloyd, who goes early in round three. I don't necessarily like the player, but the deck is clear for him to have a role right out of the gate also.
I did not think you were going him.
I hate it.
It wouldn't have been in. He would have probably been like the fifth guy I would have thought of for you picking at that point in time. So you kept the guy that I was hoping you didn't take on the board. And Ladd McConkey going 2.01 in a Buffalo Bills trade up. We're talking about the ascension of whatever receiver goes to Buffalo. This kid couldn't be getting steamed any more than he is with his combine. And now this first pick of day two to the Buffalo Bills. So not even like a rebuilding team. It's like he's going to Carolina. He's going with Josh Allen. Now, this kid could easily exceed Adonai Mitchell with this landing spot. And I'm getting him the first pick of the second round where he was taken in this mock NFL draft.
And they're just, I've been doing a shit ton of mocks for DLF. And yeah, just the value that keeps falling at wide receivers, just wild. All right. Again, playing the long dynasty game here. I don't like it for the immediacy, like you said earlier, but great. Jonathan Brooks to the Giants is my next pick. There's no one there. Once he's healthy, that's is his backfield already, and he can't even run yet.
Exactly, and there's a few spots that some of these running backs landed that are just ideal, and then there's some other spots that I think are death knells. For some of these guys,
multiple of them
personally. So Jonathan Brooks going beginning of third round, so still day two to the New York Giants. We're currently trotting out Devin Singletary on a 1-year deal. It's the perfect transition to Jonathan Brooks a year from now.
I probably should have taken Brooks at 12, actually.
Brooks was my 12, so that was the last first-round guy when I went through how I would take him based upon landing spot. You have the Las Vegas guys. I didn't have Penix or Lloyd in my first round, both in my second round, so it's not like tremendous, but those are the two. So remove them and bump everyone up. That's my first round. So it's been pretty chalky for me so far. I'm not going to let this player go any further. It's a guy I still really like. I just don't love the landing spot. Brian Thomas to the Jets. There is a too many mouths to feed component here. Aaron Rodgers, it's still, it's going to, wait to see, if he's fully back. His game is still predicated on mobility. And I don't know how long his contract keeps him with the Jets. So Garrett Wilson will be the one there. They brought in Mike Williams as a contested catch guy. Brian Thomas will be a distant third in his rookie year and will likely always be behind Garrett Wilson. And then there's Breece Hall there as well, which I just don't think this is a good landing spot. That hurts because he was my wide receiver four pre-draft. I think the Jets are a very bad landing spot for Brian Thomas. So that's why he falls to me. I had him 13th, got him 15th in this draft. And there's a guy that got picked 10th overall by the Jets again, which I don't think the Jets draft Brian Thomas at 110 either.
All right. 16th pick, tight end premium. I love this guy. Like the landing spot. I'm taking Ben Sinnott, who lands with the Rams in the third round. Maybe a little earlier than you expect, but since we're doing tight end premium, the Rams have a need. I am in on Ben Sinnott being a fantasy viable guy even as a rookie.
Yeah, hard to argue. There's opportunity with the Rams. So I'm going to continue this landing spot narrative. Like I said, with some of these guys, Blake Corum to the Chargers. I don't think this happens. I just don't believe it. Right. I mean, like, it's just too simple.
Well real quick, mention him to the Chargers, just to cut you off here. In this mock, he went 505. I know a lot of people are excited about the prospect of him going to the Chargers with their fucking early second round pick, but I mean, you get the landing spot you want, just not the draft capital. So I don't.
Yeah, I never thought he went second. I was going second round. I didn't know that there was many of these running backs that were going to go second round. I'm hard pressed to find many that actually go third round. You know, so even the Trey Benson at 22, like, I could see a world where a running back doesn't go until round three in this draft. It's just not a highly coveted draft, you know, disposable position that I think there's going to be a lot more day three guys that go, but. Draft capital aside, there's, you know, two guys that went before him, one of which I love, but this is literally the ideal spot. And we're talking about running backs. We're talking about like 2 to 3 years of giving a shit, right? And he lands in the ideal spot where it's literally Gus Edwards and nothing else, where he's realigning, you know, he's realigning himself with his head coach that ran him into the ground and would 100% do it again for 2 to 3 years in LA with Justin Herbert. So I couldn't pass up Blake Corum at 17.
18th overall, I'm going with one of my favorites. I'm taking Ricky Pearsall here, 23rd pick of the second round, going to the Indianapolis Colts, who do need more weapons for Anthony Richardson. Love the player. Think it's a great spot to play opposite Pittman. This offense is on the upswing. I'm happy to get him here. I think that's going to be a steal when we look back at this in 2 years.
Yeah, so Pearsall was 17 on my board for this. So, right, he would have been the next guy I took if you didn't take him. So, right, spot on. And I think he could move up a couple spots as well when it's all said and done. I'm going to have to, you know, save the falling first-round value. Xavier Worthy, not crazy about the Carolina land spot because I'm not a Bryce Young believer. But he's more than just a speed demon. Kick and run routes. He's just undersized, and I still am not fully buying in to like 160-pound receivers. I don't care how fast they are. This is still the NFL. You know, they're still potentially getting hit by 300-pound men. So while I think there's utility, I still think it's limited. So getting him at 19 is, I think the fall has gone far enough for someone that's being taken in the late first round.
So. All right. For me, 20th overall pick, we're going tight end premium here. Keep in mind, I'm taking Theo Johnson going to the Cincinnati Bengals, 33rd pick of the third round. Look, everyone was wetting their panties over Brock Bowers landing with Cincinnati. We like Theo Johnson. He goes in the dream landing spot for everyone. I think that Cincinnati tight end spot is one of the best landing spots for any tight end in this class. So, give me that guy as the third tight end off the board in the NFL draft. Yes, please.
Yeah, the irony is that you have selected all the tight ends so far when I'm fancy myself the tight end guy.
And I don't like taking tight ends early ever.
No, it's very confusing to me. It's very confusing what's happening right now. But I'm gonna go with it. Right? I'm not gonna try to figure this out. Troy Franklin at 21. I actually have Troy Franklin at 16. On my board still with these landing spots. I mean, subject to change, but I like the Cincinnati landing spot. Tyler Boyd's gone. T. Higgins is likely one and done, if not traded. I like Troy Franklin opposite Jamar Chase, if that's what happens, and tied to Joe Burrow. Yes, please. Yeah, I'll take that value at 21.
All right, 22 here. I'm trying to decide between a couple of guys, but I am going to go with playing the landing spot game here. Let's get all excited. 32nd pick of the second round. We have Malachi Corley going to the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's get unreasonably excited about someone landing with Pat Mahomes.
Listen, that's not unreasonably. That's the thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't remember the ADP last year or Rashee Rice, but I still think it was better than that. The issue was stupid Sky Moore after Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yes. They were the problems. right? And I think that's what caused the fall for Rashee Rice. And this might be value for Malachi Corley. You know, if they take him and target him at the end of the second round, unique skill set, kind of a yak guy. I think Andy Reid's the type of coach that could maximize a player like a Malachi Corley, who I think is limited as a receiver. So I love it. One of the best landing spots possible. I'm going to stop the fall here just because I am not letting this dude get out of the second round. Landing spot be damned. Jalen Wright, who is currently my RB1, went to Houston. Love the offense. Hate that not only is Joe Mixon there, but then he restructured where it looks like he's there for the next 2 years. Joe Mixon is a relatively durable running back who just seems to eat carries. Jalen Wright could be that change of pace there, which might not be the end of the world, but this was one of those landing spots where I was like, oh, why couldn't he have landed in Las Vegas or New York? You know, like some of these earlier drafted guys, or to the Chargers, like pretty much where every running back that's gotten taken so far, could he landed at any of those places, he would be my running back one, but he can't be behind a certified bell cow in Joe Mixon. So he falls for me, which is unfortunate because in our last draft, we were talking about how he was falling value in our first mock where I got him at pick 20. And now look at it. We're a couple months later using a mock and he goes to pick 23. So he actually decreased in value when a landing spot was involved. So unfortunate, but still going to get Jalen Wright end of the second round. I'll take that all day long.
All right, closing out round two. There are a few I'm looking at here, but I am going to take Xavier Leggett, who goes to the Patriots with the second pick of the second round, pairing him with McCarthy. I do like rookie receivers that are drafted with rookie quarterbacks. I think they, you know, end up going to these rookie camps together, build some
rapport. Yeah,
build a little rapport with one another, and it's a good matchup for both of them. And getting that, you know, early second draft capital, I think, is a big deal. So real quick, we're through two rounds. Let me just go through it. Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Marvin Harrison, Arizona, Drake May to Minnesota, Malik Nabers to the Giants, Rome Odunze to Chicago, J.J. McCarthy to New England, Brock Bowers to Seattle, Adonai Mitchell to the Chargers, Michael Penix to the Vegas Raiders, Trey Benson to the Cleveland Browns, Marshawn Lloyd again to the Vegas Raiders was our first round. Round two, still kind of going chalky here with known names, Ladd McConkey to Buffalo, Jonathan Brooks to the Giants, Brian Thomas Jr. to the Jets, Benson out to the Rams, Blake Corum to the Chargers, Ricky Pearsall to the Colts, Xavier Worthy with Carolina, Theo Johnson, Cincinnati, Troy Franklin, Cincinnati, Malachi Corley to the Chiefs, best landing spot of the day, Jalen Wright to Houston, arguably the worst landing spot of the day back-to-back, and then Xavier Leggett to the Patriots, which used to be a bad landing spot and may continue to be, but we just don't know. So let's get into these deep waters where people give a shit now. Round three.
All right, coming out swinging in round three. We'll try and be a little faster. Bo Nix, if Denver trades up to 302 and gets Bo Nix, who some people are saying could be taken in the first round, this is crazy value at the beginning of the third round in a super flex rookie draft. I have him above Penix. We'll just add that as well. He's Penix is quarterback 5 or 6 for me, whatever. However deep it is.
All right. I'm going to go with Audric Estime, who I'm coming back around on. I do like the Carolina landing spot. Not a lot of talent there to keep him off the field. I think he could be a goal line guy.
All right. Well, let's just keep this train going with a guy that I still think is being slept on. So Spencer Rattler goes to the Seattle Seahawks.
Now there's a 317.
I took Spencer Rattler at the end of the second round in the pre-landing spot draft. I just said that I'm not crazy about Geno Smith, but if they have all those weapons and they add a Brock Bowers and Spencer Rattler ends up there sitting for a year, Geno like cycles out. We all understand that Howell ain't the guy. And then Rattler gets a year to season and mature in this offense. I love this landing spot for him. And if he gets day two capital, there's some stayability for him. I'm excited. He was actually 25 on my board. So I got a little value at 27.
Now we're getting a little rough here. I am going to go. I don't even want to do this. I'm going to take Jermaine Burton going to Carolina. They need help in the receiver room. I just screwed up the spreadsheet here. I don't love the landing spot, but you know, the idea being if they surround Bryce Young with weapons and he stinks this year, then they're going to have to get another good quarterback in there at some point. So I do like the player. I wish we had more certainty at quarterback though.
Yeah, listen, Carolina's trying. You know, we're talking about at least three guys that have gone in the last 10 picks. Xavier Worthy at 128, Audric Estime at 507, Jermaine Burton at 301, and they brought in Deontay Johnson. If this happens, they're trying. They're really trying to put weapons around Bryce Young to see what can happen. I still have concerns with the trigger man. So pick 30, I'm going to go with Javon Baker, a guy I've been lower on than the industry. I like the landing spot because there's nothing opposite Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams will never be anything but a situational deep threat at the wide receiver position. Obviously, there's Sam Laporta, but I like the early day three landing spot for Javon Baker with Detroit. So give me him at 30.
Yeah, there's other guys coming up. They're landing spots stink. Like, I like Roman Wilson, but he'd go landed to the Colts in this, and so did Ricky Pearsall. And
they already re-signed Michael Pittman, and they have Josh Downs. And
Josh Downs is what I was thinking of. Yeah, it's like,
His value took a hit. If this happens and they double dip a receiver in day two with Pearsall and Wilson, then, yeah, that's not good for Wilson.
No, not at all. So I'm going in between two players here for my next pick. I'm going to select Jalen McMillan going to Jacksonville, 32nd pick of the third round. Gets in there on day two with somebody. I like the player. I think it's a good landing spot. They need weapons. You could do a lot worse than tying a young guy to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. We both like Jalen McMillan. It's crazy how there's still a notable receiver on the board that went significantly before him, and I don't disagree with you. I actually have Jalen McMillan ranked higher based upon landing spots. If this were to occur, I'm going to continue to go down the board here and go with a guy that I was high on to begin with. I've kind of pulled on him, and I do not like the draft capital early fourth round, but I like the landing spot with the Los Angeles Chargers. If they're remaking their wide receiver room with an Adonai Mitchell, Devontae Walker tandem, Devontae Walker kind of fits that stretch role that was played by like Jalen Guyton and company the last several years with the Chargers. You know, and catching deep balls from Justin Herbert, I don't think is a bad thing. So I picked 32 overall for a guy that at one point was in my top eight, I think, receivers. I'll take that value.
Yeah, I think that's a great landing spot for him. And then falling this far in the rookie draft is great. I am, tight end premium. I'm going to do something here. One of my guys, I love Tyler McLaughlin going to Carolina. There's a lot of names in Carolina at tight end, but no one has ever, you know, Tommy Tremble and a bunch of guys we like, but have never been any good for fantasy. And I like McLaughlin's upside. Again, surrounding this kid with weapons in Carolina. Give me him in tight end premium as we're wrapping up this third round.
All right. John continues to take all the tight ends in this draft. So I'm going to go back up to a player I'm not high on. I think neither of us are. We've talked about this kind of at length, and it's good showing in this draft where Braylon Allen goes in the third round of the Green Bay Packers, and I just got him at pick 34. He's big and doesn't play big. He seems fast but didn't test. Green Bay just signed Josh Jacobs, who we're talking bell cow. That dude's a bell cow. I don't think his contract is as prohibitive as it seems, but you have to assume he'll be there for at least 2 years, kind of like Joe Mixon with Houston. So that just really dampens Braylon Allen's value. And he could end up being like a lesser version of AJ Dillon in this offense. So I'll just take the youth. That's literally, I'm drafting a 20-year-old. That's why I'm taking him here.
All right. 35th pick. I am going to have to go with Brendan Rice, who goes to the Niners, 30th pick of the third round.
No way that happens.
Bit of a legacy pick, but here we are. With the Niners landing spot, it doesn't look like Ayuk is long for that team, so they're going to need somebody out there. And you know, Debo's no spring chicken, as they like to say anymore. So he's in a spot where he could see his role open up quite a bit as we go forward. So I like that near the end of the third.
Yeah, there's no way he goes at 303. I'm sorry. In this
no, it's 330. The zeros get cut off.
Okay. Yeah. Regardless, he's not going day two, in my opinion. And he's definitely not going to. Well, San Fran might lose Brandon Ayuk, so maybe I'm wrong. But there's this. I don't know. Why don't they just draft Frank Gore Jr. too then? You know, and just really, really lean into they're going to be just like their daddies because Brennan Rice is nothing like his dad. So I'm just a little conflicted there. But this is another one that's a player that I'm not tremendously high on, but it's a landing spot situation. I don't think Keon Coleman makes it to round four. I think someone's going to take him on day two. But if he goes to Buffalo Bills with 401, then yes, consider me interested because they get Ladd McConkey at 201, Keon Coleman at 401. They're trying to rebuild that receiver room cheap. I could see them taking two receivers in this draft if they don't make a big splash because they need to get cheap wide receiver talent. That's why they traded away Stephon Diggs. So I'll take a guy, a big contested catch guy. Josh Allen won't be hesitant to throw Keon Coleman 50-50 balls, in my opinion. So it's a guy I'm not crazy about, but I think this landing spot bumps him up.
Oh, tight end premium. I'm going back. Cade Stover, first pick of, or I'm sorry, pick 10, 410 to the Los Angeles Chargers. Their tight end cupboard is bare. I'm not the world's largest Stover guy, but I do like taking, you know, these tight ends in the late third and fourth round area. And yeah, there's nothing keeping him off the field from game one.
Yeah, and listen, you start looking through these drafts, right, and it's Adonai Mitchell, Devontae Walker, and Cade Stover all landing with the Chargers as they remake their whole offensive pass-catching group. I think it's a bit overkill, but, you know, there is a need there. I'm finally going to crack the tight end seal with my tight end, too, Jatavion Sanders. Baltimore is a dog landing spot. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, but Baltimore likes drafting tight ends. I do think this guy could use a year or two of seasoning, but I think he has a ton of upside. So in a tight end premium league, I will gladly take Jatavion Sanders at 38.
Now it's getting interesting. We still have a relatively early second round receiver still floating out there, a relatively early third round receiver. Running backs is all fifth round or later. Just going landing spots and guys that I like the player, I'm going to go earlier than I probably would have thought. 39th pick, give me Bub Means, who I've really grown to like, landing with the Giants, who have a giant hole for receiver in that offense, goes 31st pick of the fifth round to the Giants. Just a great, great opportunity for the guy.
Giant hole at receiver, really? You said that?
Okay. I didn't even realize it, yeah. Giant hole for the Giants.
Lazy. All right. You're on your own with Bub Means. I like the name, and he had some cool interviews at the combine, but I'm not taking the end of the fifth round wide receiver, even in the fourth round of my drafts. I don't see the upside. Will Shipley at 513, if I'm getting with a fifth round pick. Vegas, you had already went with Marshawn Lloyd earlier. They do have Zamir White there, but I don't know if these guys are insurmountable. Will Shipley's just a different cat. I think he can operate exclusively without being the primary ball carrier in an offense. So I like Will Shipley at 40. I think that's a ton of value.
I'm going to go with a guy we both really like and another team that needs help there. More tight ends for me. Eric All going to Denver. I think that is a awesome spot for him. We both like the player in general. Then you slap a Iowa Hawkeyes logo on his helmet. You go, well, great track record of success. And Denver has Dick at tight end. So once he's healthy, there's no reason he can't be a part of that offense.
Yeah, 44 for me. I'm going 41st here. I do like it. I'm going to take one of those receivers you said is still on the board, but not the one. It's the top of the list. I'm going to go with Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson is currently in my top 10 for receivers. I'm not crazy about the land spot now. I think there's too many mouths to feed there. And you got a mobile quarterback and a run-based offense with Jonathan Taylor.
I wasn't the biggest Josh Downs guy, but he kind of overperformed. Roman Wilson, I think, is a better player than Josh Downs is personally. And I think Pearsall can take the Alec Pierce role. So Roman Wilson could get on the field. I think his value fell for, you know, it was justifiable. But I had him at, where do I have, 35, and I just got him at 42.
I'm going to stop the fall here. Pick 43 overall. Jalen Polk was in this mock, taken by the Philadelphia Eagles, 18th pick of the second round. We were already drafting fifth round receivers and running backs and third round quarterbacks and late fifth tight ends, and Polk just kept sticking there. And it's obviously just landing spot. I mean, he goes to Philly where they already have two established receivers, a good tight end. There's just, I don't see a role for him, and I don't see Polk. And I do like Polk, but I don't think he's a guy who comes in and he obviously doesn't touch AJ Brown. And I don't think he's so much better than the Slim Reaper where he would get on the field over him. So Polk just falls, but getting a early second round receiver this late, it's quite a steal and a mock.
Yeah, he would have been gone way before now if that happened. I despise the landing spot. They just extended Devonta Smith too and gave him a similar $25 million a year deal that him and AJ Brown are going to be tied together through like 28, I think it is, or 26. I don't want to probably speak in too far because it's coming to the end of the AJ Brown one, but there's just no opportunity and there's not enough passing volume in that offense with Dallas Goedert still there. Now Saquon Barkley, Jalen Polk would be. You would be praying for injury to get anything out of him. And I'm not, to me, he's the third best Washington Husky receiver in this draft as well. You took Jalen McMillan way earlier, 31, and I think that's the right play. I don't know if the gap's that big between the two, but I think Jalen Polk's the third best Husky receiver.
What's your opinion on them if we switch their landing spots? We put McMillan in Philly, and we put Polk in Jacksonville.
I think McMillan makes more sense as a slot if that's what the Eagles were thinking to fill. But they probably would be moving Devonta Smith into the slot ideally to leverage his speed. So I don't know. I'd probably take
him just like I did.
I like the opportunity in Jacksonville. I agree with you. They're not overrun. I'm not a big Christian Kirk guy. Zay Jones is going to be gone. Well, Gabe Davis is what he is, but I think there's opportunity in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence. I don't know that opportunity exists in Philadelphia as a clear wide receiver three. Like you're not doing anything to change that. So I am going to go with one Dylan Lobby at pick 520 to the Los Angeles Rams. If anyone listens to this podcast, they know I'm not the biggest Kyren Williams NFL fan. You and I were both on him. Then we faded him because of a shitty combine. And yes, he's done well, but he's also been hurt multiple times. I believe that's going to continue if they continue to use them the way they are. And if I can get Dylan Lobby in a Rams Sean McVay offense that can be creative with him as a pass catcher, I love the value at pick 44. Love it.
Oh, now we're getting into, we got two picks left. You go, oh boy, I like a couple guys. What do I do here?
We
live in a wide receiver passing game world. Give me another legacy pick. Luke McCaffrey going to Denver, 21st pick of the fourth round. You know, Denver traded away Judy. They have a complete void of talent in the wide receiver room behind Cortland Sutton. Give me more of these Bo Nix weapons.
All right. So, like you said, picks are fading fast, right? So you got to get your guys or you got to fight for them in undrafted free agency. So I'm going to use a 46 pick overall from Michael Pratt, who in this mock goes third round to the Dallas Cowboys. There's some smoke around Dak Prescott and his contract. I like Michael Pratt. I think the kid's a gamer. I think landing somewhere where he has no potential path to starting right away is great for him. But Dallas has successfully drafted non-first round quarterbacks over the last handful of years. And while I hate the Cowboys, I think this is a great landing spot for Pratt. He's getting day two capital. I'm gladly going to take him 46 overall in a super flex.
All right, 47th, my final pick. I got a few players I'm looking at here. I'm going to go with a guy. I can't let him get off the board. All right, I'm taking Jace McClellan. Goes 12th pick of the 7th round. You know, unfortunately, NFL draft capital for running backs does not mean shit anymore. Minnesota needs running back help. I really like McClellan as a player. He just fell off the radar because of this. I think it's a foot injury where he's just hasn't done anything. So I think just people forgot he exists. He's pretty good, and he's going to arguably one of the best landing spots of anyone in this class. I mean, who's he competing with? So give me some Jace McClellan.
He's competing with our boy Aaron Jones. That's who he's fucking competing with.
I mean, but, you know, dynasty
in the future. Term. You know what's ironic, John? Yeah, this is hand to God. When I saw Jace McClellan's landing spot, I put him before I did this whole list at pick 48 in my mock.
Attaboy.
I said I wouldn't leave this draft without him.
Yeah.
because of that landing spot.
That's where I'm at.
So he was just a placeholder, which is ironic. You took him before. Now, ironic is go ahead.
Our boy, as much as we love Aaron Jones, he's not known to play a full 17 game slate. So even if Jones looks good and they give him another contract, McClellan's getting probably 7 starts over the next 2 years in this situation.
Minnesota's doing the prudent thing, right? They give a 1 year to an Aaron Jones as they're planning on bringing in a rookie quarterback, so get a veteran there on a 1 year deal. They still have Ty Chandler there cheap. Sink a 7th round pick into a Jace McClellan. They'll use another day 3 pick next year on a running back, and they'll just keep churning it. 48th and final pick. I am super conflicted here. There is like 5 guys I want with this pick, which just shows you this draft. I'm not like last year. I'm trying to get rid of these picks.
Honestly. Yes.
I wanted nothing to do
with
4th round picks last year. And that pretty much bared out unless you were a Puka guy early on. I mean, that's literally outside of him. I can't think of anyone that was a late pick that any relevance. So I'm going to go with how I currently have them listed. But there is one or two guys I want to talk about, but I'm going to take one Bucky Irving, who goes pick 518 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year, we all got hot and bothered about Tank Bigsby going to Jacksonville, and there was rumblings that, you know, Travis Etienne's, you know, job wasn't safe. Well, Travis Etienne got like otherworldly work share, and Tank Bigsby never saw the field. Bucky Irving is like a change of pace space back. I think Travis Etienne proves he's really not a pass catching back in this league. So hoping that Irving gets that, you know, third down change of pace pass catching role, because I think, you know, even though he underwhelmed at the combine, he is super electric with the ball in his hands. He was a guy that I took at the late 2nd round, I believe, in our first mock, and I'm getting him at the end of the 4th round now because of a poor combine and, you know, I guess we would say subpar landing spot with a 5th round pick to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't not thrilled with. Well, I'm not a huge fan of the player either, but
Let's do this. Rather than doing like the, all right, who else? Let's go 4 more picks real quick. You go 2, I go 2. Back, you know, back and forth. Just, you know, honorable mention, like who would be next for you?
The guy that I like that is still floating out there is Tyrone Tracy. I like that Buffalo spot. I think I do like the player. I think Buffalo doesn't want to give a full workload to Cook. So I think Tracy could be some viable option in PPR.
Yeah. Hard to argue there. My next pick would be Johnny Wilson.
Oh yeah. I do like that one.
Who goes 538 to Kansas City. We're talking about landing spots, things like that nature. I do believe at the end of the day, Johnny Wilson will play tight end in the NFL. And we're talking end of Travis Kelce, kind of transition into an uber athletic, oversized wide receiver, right, in Johnny Wilson.
All right.
He's a guy I'd be targeting late in these drafts, if indeed he's there that late. You know, where you can get him in like the end of the 4th or early in the 5th if you're in a 5th round draft, 5 round draft. So I'll take the shot there.
Make me pick again here. I like the player. They have Ray Davis going to the Colts, which I don't like, except I don't know what Taylor's contract, when they can get out of Taylor's contract. Right? Yeah, so that concerns me. I don't see a world where Davis ends up going undrafted for fantasy, but I'm going to take a player I like with little competition ahead of him. I like Jakon Jackson. I like the landing spot with Atlanta. They got Cousins coming in there. I am not the biggest Drake London guy. As much as I like Darnell Mooney, we've seen his limitations the last couple of years. I could see a world where Jackson carves out a role as a rookie in that offense from day one.
Yeah, I'm not as high on him as you are. There's some receivers above him that I would take. Just point of reference, Jonathan Taylor is pretty much locked in Indianapolis through the 2025 season. His early out is 26, so it was still two more years. Ray Davis is already 37 years old. If he gets drafted to the Colts, he will be retired before Jonathan Taylor is. That would be – they talk about a death lane. So I knew you liked him. But also, remember, Zach Moss had – several fantasy relevant games when Jonathan Taylor got hurt last year. So not to try and totally shit on Ray Davis and his chances, but that would be a less than ideal landing spot. My final player is going to be Isaiah Davis landing for the Arizona Cardinals at pick 527, two picks after Tyrone Tracy. As much as James Conner has defied just about everything, and looked very good at points last year in Arizona, I'm pretty sure this is his last year there. They are going to run him into the ground as well. And so getting a big-bodied back like Isaiah Davis, where there's really not a lot behind James Conner. I mean, I like Amari DeMercado. I'm sure there's other people there as well that I'm forgetting about. But he was one that when I saw the landing spot, I said that would increase my interest in Isaiah Davis, if it came to be. So this kid's 6'1", 220 pounds. I mean, he's built like James Conner is. And, you know, so he thrived in FCS competition as a South Dakota State, was it Jackrabbit, I believe they are, which is quite a cool logo to be had. I like the value in Isaiah Davis at that point in time. So he was a guy that I was like, oh man, like, and that was at the Bucky Irving pick. I mean, it was very much the same. I'm like, I'd be considering Isaiah Davis given that landing spot over Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about him. I do. If we're just playing the landing spot game, yeah, I love it. I haven't watched a ton of Isaiah Davis, so that may change during the draft. But yeah, is there anybody that you thought for fantasy purposes? It was a little surprising they weren't selected. We didn't take Malik Washington, who went to the Steelers at 3-3-4, knowing the Steelers' history with drafting receivers, and they traded away Deontay Johnson. They do have a need. He probably fell too much in this league that he wouldn't in other spots. I like Jamari Trash going threat. Jesus.
I was like, wow, really?
Jamari Trash going to the New Orleans Saints, 15th pick of the fifth round. I like that spot. Nobody else that's left really is super interesting to me. I think we did a good job of getting the best 48 or 52, I guess, in our drip mock here.
Yeah, you're right. Malik Washington, I think, should be drafted, especially if he goes day two, round three, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They do have a track record of success, and they now have a need at the position. I agree with you with Thrash going to the Saints. You know, there's not really a lot outside of Olave. And Thrash is a good player. He's a really good player. Yeah. Jaheim Bell not getting drafted, designated as a tight end. He goes to Atlanta. This isn't the Arthur Smith Atlanta Falcons. So maybe Kyle Pitts actually becomes the big slot receiver he's intended to be, and they use Jaheim Bell is like an H-back type role. There could be a world where he's a valuable addition, but there's just a little bit too much in Atlanta. But he's a name that, you know, he's going to get drafted in the tight end premium league, you know, in four rounds, I think, regardless of where he ends up. And then there's just, you know, Joe Milton, round four is too high. If you're in a five-round draft, I'll take a flyer on him. But they took him as a second quarterback, the Patriots, in round six, just to see if they could develop him. Spoiler alert, they can't. the kid will never be accurate. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. type thing. His shine is definitely falling off. And then outside of that, I mean, Isaac Arendo blew up the draft, blew up the combine, but he goes to Detroit now. That doesn't look good on paper, but I think they can get out for Montgomery after next year. So there could be a world where it's a Garendo Gibbs backfield, which I do think is appealing. I'm surprised you didn't take Rasheen Ali just because he went to Cincinnati. Miles away from relevancy. He's a guy that I wasn't crazy on him, but the landing he's spot.
The Marshall guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I gotta watch. I think there's value there. What struck me most is that there's two players that you and I are both hiring that went undrafted in this CBS mock 7-round mock draft. And one is Troy running back Kamani Vidal, who I promise gets drafted in the NFL draft. And then Blake Watson, the running back from Memphis. I'm not as certain with him. I think he should be drafted over some of these names that I'm seeing here, but I can promise you Kamani Vidal goes, in the NFL draft. And he was one that I was looking around. I'm like, hold on, did we forget to put him in here? And then I went through the whole mock again. And I'm like, no, he's not. They didn't include him. I think I'm just going to be honest. I think that's an egregious omission by CBS. I don't think it was intentional. With some of these names, like, Dijon Edwards going to Green Bay in the 7th, Imani Bailey to Tennessee in the 7th, George Helani to Baltimore. He's more of a fullback, I think. So maybe that makes sense to Baltimore. Frank Gore to Dallas in the 5th round is give me a break.
What I thought was the weirdest thing in this market, and you just mentioned with Dallas. Dallas is taking a running back to use, and it ain't Frank Gore, right? Like, to me, that was a big, like you said, kind of a mistake in this draft, because there's nobody in the free agency market that they're going to be bringing in. So to me, Dallas has no choice. They're taking one of these, one of these top 12 running backs is going to land with Dallas, which would have bumped any of them way higher in our mock here. But yeah, I don't like that pick, because I think that they are going somewhere else, because if they're drafting Frank Gore, 39th pick of the 5th round, they're going to use the shit out of him. And that guy's not made to be used in that capacity.
He's not an NFL running back. I already said it. He's definitely not made to be used in that capacity. And my apologies to George Helani. I thought he was bigger than he is. He's only 5'10", 208. I don't know why. I guess he's more just of a downhill runner, so I just pigeonholed him as being bigger, which makes sense, kind of like Baltimore, Gus Edwards type role. But I thought he was more of a fullback type, so my apologies. Mr. Helani, I did not know your game from Boise State, but nonetheless, some of those names, Kamani Vidal over them easily, in my opinion. And Blake Watson just offers far more utility as a pass catcher. And with kind of the way the NFL is, I think he's a guy that probably ends up being like a 7th round pick, so that some team doesn't have to fight for him and they can get him into camp and see what they have with him. So those are the two names that were off the board. You named the two receivers. Washington and Thrash were the two that stuck out to me. A lot of people are high on Anaya Smith. I'm not really there.
Me neither.
Washington, there'd be opportunity. Get Jaden Daniels in there. There's just Terry McLaurin and John Dotson. There's really not much more in the receiving room. They don't really have a tight end of consequence. They got 1 year Zach Ertz coming in there. So interesting with him, in round three, day two prospect. But no, those were the names. It was interesting that Isaac Garendo, who destroyed the combine, got drafted, albeit in the 6th round, but couldn't find his way into our top 52 picks. You would think one of us, I would have thought one of us would have just taken a flyer on him, given the athleticism and the fact that he was drafted, but he's an older prospect as well. I think his path is blocked short term in Detroit. So that's what kind of kept me off his scent, but he's a guy I'd probably be spending some fab bucks on after the draft to acquire.
Yeah, that would be my waiver acquisitions based on this. I mean, not including the four we took after. Yeah, Garendo's worth a few bucks. I like Ali in Cincinnati, just like you said. And the wide receiver side of things, I like Isaiah Williams going to Vegas. I think that's a great landing spot for him. Cornelius Johnson to the Rams, 37th pick of the 6th round. I like that. Dallas needs help. Jordan Whittington, the the only guy from Texas nobody seems to talk about. I like him going to Dallas. They have a need. So there's a few guys that lingered out of this range. Oh, and tight end, Devin Culp, I think in Miami could become fantasy viable, not as a rookie, but I didn't hate that spot either. So there's quite a few guys that are still lingering. And you had mentioned this earlier in previous years, where you're like, will you just take my fourths and thirds, please? This draft, you want to get a lot of third and fourths. These guys all have a lot of potential. I mean, shit, Keon Coleman went 36th in ours. And I don't think that's way off base either, but you're getting some names in Roman Wilson, 42, Jalen Polk, McCaffrey, Pratt, McClellan. I'm loving what I'm seeing late in these mocks.
Yeah, don't disagree with you. And you know, just keep going and going. Ryan Flournoy is a guy who's an older prospect, but he goes to Buffalo in the sixth round. You know, there's opportunity in Buffalo now.
Yep.
He's reportedly thought very highly of for an older prospect. And then Dallin Holker and Jared Wiley are both guys we talked about from the tight end position. They go 504. Sorry, what's that? 540, I guess, compensatory picks. 540 and then 603. New Orleans just has Juwan Johnson, short term, you know, and stupid Taysom Hill can't play forever. New Orleans is in the worst spot. Jared Wiley, unfortunately, would be behind Brock Bowers and Noah Fant in Seattle. So that would suck. But, you know, there are some names, you know, even in tight end premium leagues where I would want a shot. I'd want some Dallin Holker on my taxi squad in New Orleans. I'd want to be trying to work my way into late fourth round picks as well, potentially, or I would definitely be using fifth round picks on those type of players in a 5-round draft. But yeah, there's still names. There's still guys I want to draft right now. And we just went through 52 players, which is uncommon. It speaks to the depth, largely at a wide receiver position, right? You went down these totals here. 12 quarterbacks were taken in this mock, 20 running backs, 34 wide receivers, and 15 tight ends, you know, for a total of 81 total players drafted, you know, offensive skill positions. And like, there's still names on here that I would want exposure to on my dynasty rosters.
And the thing about it is it's not like we're not picking crazy guys, right? These aren't sleepers. We're not like, I really want to get me some Dejon Edwards, wink, wink, late seventh. Like these are known guys that everybody will also be getting. Like the years past where you're like, no one's putting in an offer on Malik Washington. I'll put $2 and I'll beat anybody who puts in a dollar. Like, you're going to dump your fab. You're going to blow through it if you want any of these guys. If you want Malik Washington and Jamari Thrash, you're probably going to have to spend, and it'll just say $1,000 budget. You're probably going 400 on each, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be
40
trying
percenters.
I'd be trying my damnedest to get into the draft.
Yes, correct.
Be able to secure those guys.
Take my next year's fourth and third.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Just start with your next year's third, right? You're moving. You're jumping up around. Try and find the guy that's out. You know, you keep working the guy on the clock. Just keep sending that guy your third for their fourth until that player goes.
Yep.
Right. And try and secure it that way, and then worry about trying to reacquire that third later on. But yeah, I'd rather not get into a bidding war for some of these guys if I could just move a pick to get to them. But yeah, this is an exciting class. It's going to be some exciting rookie drafts. I think there's going to be a lot of movement from dynasty managers, you know, to try and move around, move in, move out, to try and get their guys. It's going to be an interesting year. Unlike the last couple where, you know, things kind of drop real quick and no one really gives a shit after the second round. No one's really trying to make moves and you're just kind of waiting for your pick to come up. Come round four, you know, in the last couple rookie drafts. This is one where, you know, I'm paying attention to the draft this year.
Fewer timeouts than in years.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Guys are excited. I'm 1 o'clock. Oh, shit. Yeah. The guy wants to go here. Yeah. Rushing to turn the card in type thing. So yeah, this was an exciting, an interesting experiment. You know, with these landing spots, this is exactly what's going to happen after the NFL draft, where we, you know, reassign value to these players based upon where they land. You know, it's just, you know, some guys are going to get screwed. You know, not as applicable for wide receiver as it is for running back, in my opinion. Tight end typically takes a couple years anyway. But, you know, at quarterback, like you said, the Patriots, like McCarthy going there, that sucks. right? Even if he's good, his pass catchers stink there, all right? Like, maybe Leggett can help him out a little bit if then he also goes 201, which, you know, what the odds of that happening, you know, that they go quarterback and then they draft a receiver at the top of the second round is probably slim as well. So things will not be as clean.
Yeah, Jalen Wright's landing spot sucked.
Yeah, it was terrible. It hurt my feelings that this is the mock we went with after seeing that, because even I couldn't push him up anymore, and I had to move several running backs above him because running back is a short-term proposition. I like Jonathan Brooks going to the Giants over Jalen Wright, and Jonathan Brooks, I think, misses the first half of the year or doesn't really play
at
much.
The
first half of the year, best-case scenario, and then he starts getting worked in the second half of the year, and then the hope is that he's their clear starting running back going into 2025. That's like the best case scenario for Jonathan Brooks, and it's still, I like that over Jalen Wright, who's currently healthy and explosive in a good offense, because he's unfortunately been boxed out already by a free agent move.
Sad times if that happens, but I think he goes earlier than that anyway, but that is neither here nor there, but it should do it for us. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, just can't wait for this NFL draft to happen so that we can finally have landing spots for these guys and then get deep into rookie draft season. And, you know, this is the real fun time for Dynasty is between that NFL draft to all our rookie drafts and then moves you try and make in the summer to get your team ready to try and win come September.
Yep. So that'll do it for us. Hopefully you enjoyed this, help you out a little bit in your drafts. When you have your drafts coming up, some people as soon as Saturday mid NFL draft, from what I hear, but definitely in the next couple of weeks, everyone's going to be hot and heavy in a fevered drafting pitch. So that will do it for us. For myself, John Barry, my co-host Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
Houston?
Yeah.
You hear Zach Johnson, too?
Eating downers.
Johnson like tripled a hole, and like he missed like a pretty much gimme putt, and then he had like a tap in, and after he tapped it in, everyone started cheering. And he looks up and goes, "Oh, fuck off!" And it's on camera, 100% on camera. They asked him about it afterwards. He goes, "No, I didn't. I wasn't talking to the fans. I don't even recall saying that." And you know, if you got me on video, I guess you know. It is what it is. He goes, but I was probably just talking to myself. You know, I would never talk. He looks up afterwards, 1,000,000%. He's looking at the crowd after he pulls his ball out of the hole, and he gives him the old fuck off, because they're all shitting on him because of his Ryder Cup.
Let me find the.
Oh, it's as plain as the day is long. He's telling the patrons where they can stick it.
Why isn't it playing? Man, it could play.
It might not play because you're recording on here. It might not give you the audio.
So it's not even
on or something.
There we go. Probably. Of course, we get to sit through an ad.
Doing it wrong. You would have been on and off of Twitter already if you just Googled put Zach Johnson in the search bar there. It'd be done.
Favorite thing ever.
Do you see
it? I see the putt he missed.
Oh, see? You haven't heard him yet?
Did he throw the ball in the water, too?
No. That's tap in for triple bogey.
I like it. Good for
him.
The
12s.
Oh, 1,000,000% is Zach Johnson telling those people they're cheering for his triple bogey.
I love it.
Good for him.
That's what I'm made of. Imagine that. Like you said, like triple bogey in a hole, you're a professional golfer, and then the people cheer for you. Like on that, I'd be on. Couldn't tie me down. I'd be a Happy Gilmore, like sucker punching people from his stands. Like I would not be built for that level of criticism. So many of these idiots. Wyndham Clark came out and pretty much shit on the LIV players, especially DeChambeau, that he came out, you know, and played so well on Thursday and pretty much said, well, you know, they only play 54 holes and we play 72, so let's see what happens come Sunday. Meanwhile, Wyndham Clark fucking gets to bed on Friday and doesn't even make the cut for the Masters. So, yeah, DeChambeau did predictably falter, but I'd be worrying about my own house before I'm just like chirping at the guy that's the clubhouse leader after 18.
Jesus.
John Rahm also said he didn't get the reception that he thought he would get. And I'm like, well, cause you went and chased money, you shithead. Like,
I do not understand why anyone cares. I do not understand.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, well, people are people. That's why they care. I don't care if that's what your decision was, but don't try and act like you didn't do something, right? Like half these LIV guys are like doing like the, I don't know what's wrong. Why are you mad at me? And it's like, yeah, okay. I get it. Not being happy with the PGA Tour, but when LIV comes at you and just backs up, brings trucks full of money at you, yeah, 99% of the population is going to go. Just admit it. Just flat out. Like, I think Bryson DeChambeau is one of the only people to flat out said, they offered me life-changing money. And, like, my family is going to be taken care of for life. Like, cool. You're cool with me, man. Like, you just totally just cop to it. Like, you get these other guys that are trying to play the middle where it's, you know, there's issues with the tour and there's this and there's that and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's the money. It's the money. There's no two ways around it. We all can just admit it.
I'm trying to find a
clue. LIV's also not a successful model. They keep just, well, it is because they have infinite piles of money, but it's not a profitable endeavor. Literally, LIV is just trying to force the PGA to like absorb them and then change their policies. I think that's what LIV's doing. It's like they can just keep throwing money at these players and keep pulling stars away from the PGA until the PGA has no choice but to like acquiesce to LIV and like merge the two companies. And then all those, I don't know what's going to happen with all that money. I don't know. Like these guys, like, is that just like,
I'm sure
it's a $50 million contract. It's like, it's,
I'm sure you get the contract, right? Like baseball money.
Yeah. But then none of those legacy PGA guys, they just get straight, you know, right up the old culo.
Well,
yeah.
They made, I would have been the first guy to leave. There's not even a question in my mind.
But listen, there's probably something to be said for that too. But I feel like the price has only gone up since then.
Well,
either. Like some of these lesser knowns are getting big money to go over there. There's guys on the LIV tour. I don't even know who they are.
Correct. Like, why? I mean, they got to fill out the roster with bodies.
Listen, they got enough money. They can find the bodies.
But yeah, I'd have been the very first person. Hey, would you like to come play golf? Tell me more. Well, you play 3 days instead of four. There are no cut events.
Yeah, there's private jets take you everywhere.
And so what we're going to do.
Five-star accommodations.
We're just going to pay you a flat $125 million. Yes, say less. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly.